The hapless Polish soldiers below had no idea what was coming. Positioned atop the bell tower overlooking the city's main square, Karl Vogt rubbed his clammy hands on his pants. A trooper crouched next to him, and Karl gave him a hard stare. Karl returned his attention to what was happening below. The first soldiers of the retreating Polish army had appeared in the city an hour ago. The overwhelming Wehrmacht assault on Poland started 2 days ago, crushing their defenses with ease. The men below formed the country's rear guard, and Karl estimated they hadn't seen any action yet. Despite their calm exterior, Karl was certain they carried the weight of their comrade's defeat.
"Sir?"
A hushed voice took Karl from his thoughts. A young messenger knelt next to him, his head low.
"The artillery regiment is making its way into the city."
Excitement bubbled in Karl's throat. "When do we expect them to reach the square?"
"Less than half an hour, more like 20 minutes, sir."
Karl took in the situation on the square some 20 meters below one last time. The soldiers entered from a wide street on the west, crossed the 50-meter square, and then split into smaller groups. The lead group started navigating the maze of narrow streets that led away from the city center. The few mechanized troops escorting them picked the most central route, the only street wide enough to fit the artillery through. Karl turned back to the messenger. "Tell the others the plan is on. Wait for my signal."
"Sir."
The young man stalked down the chipped stone walkway and disappeared from sight. It took less than a minute for him to reappear on the square, his civilian clothes not drawing a glance from the soldiers. Karl smiled when the messenger disappeared down an alley on the eastern corner of the square. Along with the inconspicuous appearance of the messenger, the open windows of the buildings running along the streets were the only indicators of what was about to happen. The Polish soldiers never thought to look up. Karl grinned into the calm before the storm. The last 7 days had passed in a haze, and he was floating on the cloud that had carried him to the Polish city of Bromberg. Only a mere 4 days ago, Karl had led the operation that had justified Nazi Germany's invasion of Poland. Disguised as Polish troops, Karl and his men seized the Gliwice radio tower and broadcast a false claim of Polish victory. To enhance the credibility of the mission, Karl's troops had taken a number of concentration camp prisoners, in Wehrmacht uniforms, from Dachau and left their bullet-riddled corpses outside. Hitler claimed Polish aggression, and the first Luftwaffe bombers were in the air while Karl flew in the other direction for a private audience with the Führer in Berlin. Karl's skin prickled at the memory of shaking the Führer's hand, pride swelling in his chest. Following the meeting with Hitler, things moved quickly and unexpectedly. Karl's boss, Reinhard Heydrich, had briefed him on his new mission. Unlike with the Gliwice mission, Karl wouldn't be involved in the planning phase. They needed him back in Poland the next day. It was how he now found himself looking down from his vantage point in Bromberg, some 400 kilometers from Berlin. A glint of light from below brought him back to the present, and he noticed with glee the first pieces of Polish artillery moving onto the square. He was surprised to see the Schneider guns pulled by horses and was unable to suppress a smile. So, the rumors were true. The Polish army was powered by literal horses, while thousands of Panzers and trucks powered by mechanical horsepower steamrolled over the border. Emboldened by the sight, he felt his fingers twitch impatiently. It took less than 10 minutes for the last of the horse-drawn artillery to appear on the square. Karl looked to the eastern exit and smiled at the sight of horses being guided down the street, just as he'd planned. Everything lined up perfectly, and all eyes were now on him. He nodded toward the trooper next to him, who reached for a yellow flag no larger than 2 sheets of paper, raising it just below the bell tower's parapet. The young man's hands trembled, and he looked at Karl for confirmation one last time. Karl controlled his impatience and managed a controlled nod. "Raise the flag, soldier." The man lifted the small piece of fabric high enough to clear the masonry, and only for a few seconds. Anyone passing by and looking up would most likely miss it, but for Karl's men spread around the square, the flag might as well have been a siren. Gunfire erupted before the flag was down. Muzzle flashes flared from the once innocuous windows. Karl pressed his back against the cold stone wall of the bell tower as the rattle of gunfire echoed through the streets below. Screams of surprise on the square quickly turned into wails of despair as the first soldiers were struck by the hail of bullets. He risked a glance down, peering through a crack in the masonry. Artillery toppled as panicked horses, some bleeding, bolted in every direction. Most of the Polish soldiers abandoned their cargo and ran for cover in the side streets, but a good dozen lay motionless in the square. Karl hoped a few were still breathing. They would be able to tell their comrades what had happened. The shooting by the nearby Germans subsided, with only a small number of brave but foolish Polish soldiers firing haphazardly at the windows. Karl enjoyed the macabre spectacle, their chances of striking one of his men practically non-existent. The gunfire in the adjacent streets continued, Polish soldiers trapped in their narrow confines. Karl confidently got to his feet and signaled for the half-dozen troopers around him to do the same. "Best we make our way out before they realize we're here." Adrenaline pumped through his veins as they made their way down the tower. Three troopers, pistols drawn, secured his passage. Another three protected his back. When they reached the ground level, one of the men opened a hatch, revealing a narrow tunnel. Two climbed down ahead of Karl, lighting the way. As Karl crawled down the confined passage, the hatch closed behind him, enveloping him in the silence of the moldy tunnel. He allowed himself a victorious grin. Plans had been set in motion.